My name is Aaron West, and welcome to Criterion Shortcuts, Episode 1 on Alhambrista. This one was a little different as far as the musical score, as you just heard or are hearing. This one has a score, and it also has music from the scene. It has water streaming, it has animal noises, you can tell, even if you didn't look at the picture as you heard it just now, you can tell that this is a pastoral area, that they're working this land. It's definitely not the urban or suburban life. This is a pastoral film. It's set in Mexico to begin with and later in the United States. And I'd like to begin by talking about the title. If you look at the Criterion case, you might notice that there's an upside down exclamation point, and it's followed by a exclamation point. That is actually part of Mexican or Spanish grammar, that they have those upside down exclamation points. They will precede the sentence, and they are really just the same as one of our exclamation points to connote an exclamation. So really what they're saying is Alhambrista. They're saying it, you know, emphatically, exclamatory. So there, it's a strong word, and the translation of the word is the illegal. So maybe the punctuation is a little harsh based on what we see in the film. And in fact, in the commentary, the director was not a fan of the name or the title, the illegal. I think his philosophies lay elsewhere. So let me tell you a little bit about the film. It came out in 1977. It's Criterion Collection Spine number 609. It was a U.S. production, very, very independent. I believe they said they made it for $200,000. It has won a few awards, but it did play Cannes, actually, and it won the Golden Camera at Cannes. Now, I'm not clear what kind of box office it did, but during the commentary, the producer and the director, and I'll talk about that in just a moment, they said that the only money they made on the film was the rental fee on the truck, which was $1,000. And so they pretty much used their budget to pay locals. And from what I understand, they didn't pay people a lot of money. They did use a lot of amateurs and only a couple of professional actors, one of which is Ned Beatty, of course. The lead character of Roberto was played by Domingo Ambriz. And his sidekick was Trinidad Silva, and they were professional actors, but most of the people they interacted with were not. If you watch closely, you'll see Edward James Olmos, who has become very well known as an American actor, Hispanic American actor, and he actually worked with Young for many, many films, and he has a little special feature. But in this movie, he just plays a drunk. He has a very, very bit part, but a very explosive part and very well done part. So I'm going to start by getting into the politics a little bit, and really I'm giving a disclaimer. You know, this is in 2015 that I'm taping this. As I talk currently, Donald Trump is the front runner for president from the Republican nomination for the next year's election. It would be easy to politicize this. So, you know, he's running on a very anti-immigration agenda. I'm actually going to dodge that. I'm going to just speak on the film. I'm going to try not to judge. You know, everybody has their own political opinions about all sorts of things. And one thing I try to leave that behind when I evaluate a piece of art. I just think you just can't really review it, even if the director, and in this case, I think the director did have an agenda. I think you still have to evaluate how he conveyed his message. So I'll go along with the ride. So the story is there is the gentleman working at the opening scene, Roberto. He is Mexican and he has a family, and his family is not doing very well in Mexico, and they long for the big money in America. And his family sends him off. He has a wife and child, a newborn child. They send him off to America, hoping that he will come back and bring them riches. And he does go to America. Not really a spoiler. This happens very early in the film, and in fact, it's a pretty good sequence of events when he does get there, and he meets up with other Hispanics as well. And when he gets to America, of course, you can probably guess, a very predictable film, but he finds that things are pretty challenging at times. So even though this was not in the materials, I did pick up on a strong Italian neorealist influence, and that's obvious just from the amateur actors. That's one thing De Sica and others, they like to hire amateurs, maybe occasionally a pro, and really direct them just doing what they're doing, really getting natural responses. And Young pretty much confirmed that in his commentary, that he just really wanted people in their element doing their thing. It is a drama, but there are some comic moments. I'm going to start by talking about some of the humor. He does encounter a number of different Mexicans, and in fact, there's a lot of kinship and community with them when he encounters them. All the Mexicans that are going across the border, he encounters some people who have been across the border, and they are funny. They show him the ropes of how to be an American. And when I say funny, they're funny to us because they, as you'll see in this clip, they talk about, you know, stereotypical Americanisms. There is there's some Spanish in this clip, and there is some English. Basically, the Spanish, this is a lesson on how to order food in America, and you'll be able to pick up on most of the rest. The Spanish parts are mostly them saying, be confident. So here is that clip.
Mira la gente. Morning. Hi, sir. Caminas con confianza, Te sientas en la mesa. Cruza las piernas, The gringos, they always cross their legs,
Hi. Hi. Yes. Can I help you?
Ham and eggs and coffee.
Ham, eggs, and coffee. Anything right. To drink.
Coffee?
Oh.
What's your phone number?
And in the clip, they also play around by telling him to flirt with the waitress. And of course, the two men play the role of customer and waitress. And this actually will, this is for some foreshadowing for what's going to happen with the drama later on. If I were to describe this film or compare it, it is very gritty. There's handheld photography. It seems almost like some of the independents of the 80s, 90s, actually even today. Like I said, grainy, but I think it's partially that, of course, that's the budget. You can't afford really expensive film stock on $200,000, including a film crew. And we do know that it was 16mm that was blown up to 35. There is some grain, intentional or not, but that actually contributes to the realism a little bit. This isn't an artificial landscape. You can tell that Young is interested in portraying the reality of this man's life and what he goes through in order to really achieve his dreams. And sometimes things are fun, sometimes things are not so fun. A lot of times he has to work the land, and working the land is a lot different in America than it is in Mexico. We heard the tranquil, peaceful work in the fields in the intro. However, when he gets to America, he has to labor for, at one scene he has to pull veggies, another scene he has to pick fruit off trees. So it's far from glamorous work, and he's working for individuals when he gets to America, and I guess you could say under the table. These are people that aren't really looking out for his best interests. They're looking out for their own wallet. They're trying to make a buck off of him. And that brings me to the next clip. And this is Ned Beatty, who actually comes in later in the film. People might think of this as a spoiler, but really this is a film you can't really spoil. Ned Beatty just happens to be a character we meet later. However, there are other characters like him. And he actually speaks about, he speaks frankly about really what he's after. However, you could guess that pretty much all of the employers that Roberto encounters probably feel the same way.
That's an important thing. You gotta remember that we're making it on the number of bodies. That's where you make your money, the number of bodies. You don't know what's gonna happen to him once the job is over. Now, tell him that it's a strike, because I don't want him turning chicken on me once I get up there.
So Ned Beatty, not so much of a nice guy in this movie. Sorry, guys. He is a businessman. He's looking to really line his pockets, looking out for his own interests. He doesn't really care about Roberto. Doesn't know his name, probably doesn't care to know his name. And there are a lot of English characters like that. It doesn't glamorize Americans, for sure. And if anything, it maligns them. These are not the good guys. If they even make fun of them in the early scene, gringos like to cross their legs. So Roberto really is a fish out of water in America. He doesn't speak the language. There are a lot of communication gaps. He really is lost, and it's not the paradise that he expected. So he does encounter a number of characters on his way, and things are not always as dour. There are some high points. There's actually a thrilling and enjoyable scene where he is with Joe, who is played by Trinidad Silva, and they are riding on the top of a train of cars, but they're riding in one of the cars, and they're yelling and hooting and hollering, and they actually yell at a police car. So you do see that Joe thought of that as the land of opportunity. Roberto, not yet convinced, and he'll learn things later that will convince him otherwise. And when he tries to settle, he has to separate ways from Joe. I know I'm probably going too far in a plot here, but he does encounter other characters, and that's where he's truly lost. When he's away from his Hispanic friends, and he's trying to navigate this American world on his own, as I mentioned, James Olmos appears as a drunk, but he is lost, and he encounters a female character, a waitress, which that's the foreshadowing I referred to, and there is a communication gap with them. And again, lots of fish out of water scenes as he navigates this this new world. So I'm going to play another clip here, and this is where the waitress first begins to interact with him, and you can't see it, but he doesn't speak English here, so he's really just listening.
Cafe? Here you go. It's your money. Dinero. You were sick, and you fell asleep in the cafe where I work. You didn't know what was happening last night. Do you understand what I said? It's yours.
And she refers to money here. Of course, money is the ultimate goal. That's why he's there, and it is the ultimate evil, really. And of course, he doesn't understand when she says it's yours. It's really his. He's not stealing it. Roberto is an honest man, but he is lost. And the waitress actually does befriend him. And again, more fish out of water. She takes him to church, and this is yet another clip of an evangelical Christian who is preaching to him. Of course, Roberto is Catholic, and if you really think about an evangelical pastor in the South, Southern United States, and try to experience it through a foreigner's eyes, somebody who really lived on a farm, it's pretty hard to fathom. And so as you can imagine, during this scene, Roberto is just blankly staring. He's just flummoxed. He doesn't know how to respond, doesn't know where to sit, and a lot of people that that have only go to church twice a year probably can relate. Sometimes it's we're all fish out of water. But I thought it was a very effective scene, and it really kind of spelled out where he was in this new world.
For God says that the day we eat thereof, we're going to surely die. But the devil, the Bible said, and Jesus said these words. He said, the devil come to kill, the devil come to steal, and the devil come to destroy. But he said, I came that you may have life. My God! Pilate said, I can't find no fault in him. Why? He was the life giver. He was the seed of the woman. He was the redeemer. The Savior, the healer, the deliverer, the wonder! I said hallelujah!
So yeah, try to imagine being in somebody else in Roberto's shoes listening to that diatribe by that preacher. Of course, everybody around him, they're raising their hands, they're into this, they're feeling the spirit. Roberto, he's not feeling the spirit of America, and it's not a sacrilegious thing. I imagine that the character is very religious, but this is a different kind of religion. This is not the way he preaches. So yes, it's a very realistic film. It's very dramatic. It's harsh at times. It's a different film. I can't really think of a whole lot of films that really capture the immigrant experience like this one. And, you know, in the 30, 40 years that have passed since then, I wonder, I'm sure it is drastically different. But probably the essentials, you know, the feeling of the Hispanics, the dream of America, and then the reality, and the people that live here, we know this reality. Low-paying jobs are not glamorous. You are down in the dirt, you can barely make ends meet, and you do have to go through a lot in order to get to survive in these lower-paid jobs. So we do get what Young was saying. Usually I'm with Mark on these episodes. Miss you, Mark. But we give ratings, and I thought this was a good film. I didn't think it was a great film. I thought it was a good character study, a good portrayal of a person and an experience. So I would give it a 7, leaning towards a 7.5, but I will give it a 7. I do think it's worth watching. You know, if you're not a completist like I am, probably maybe check it out at the library. The Criterion does have some good supplements. The commentary, of course, is the big one. Robert M. Young and co-producer Michael Hausman. They talk quite a bit about the behind the scenes, and actually I found that to be just as interesting as the film. They call it a gorilla film, and gorilla not like the jungle animal or zoo animal, but gorilla like war or gear, pretty much an underground. Actually, probably an advocate film is really what they mean by it. But also the filmmaking, you know, it's like they're setting about with very limited resources to try to make this film not an organized war force, I guess, so to speak. So again, as I mentioned, there were some actors, but most were not. They said they paid people. They didn't say how much they paid people. I'm guessing the early scenes where he has his Mexican family, they mentioned that was a real Mexican family, and they did come to a financial arrangement to have Roberto step in there and become the husband. So I don't know how much they paid this family, but probably if you think of American currency versus the peso, even back then, it probably was not a whole lot. They said they had a small crew, about 10 people. They did have some neat stories. One story I found particularly interesting was later in a club scene, a nightclub, they talked about how, this is a byproduct of having amateurs, but a real scary fight broke out where one of the characters was jealous that somebody in the band that was playing was flirting with his girl, and who knows how things escalated, but he ended up putting the eye out of a member of the band who may or may not have been flirting with his girl. And of course, Mike, the producer, he got a hit over the head with a beer bottle. So it probably did not go down as expected. And, you know, I'm chuckling here as I tell the story. It's actually a pretty sad story, but it's just one of those anecdotes that it's you can't believe would happen on a film set. Or I guess that just speaks to that it was not a very controlled film set. There was a little interview with Edward J. Olmos, and as I mentioned, he had a very bit part, but he went on to work with Young in several movies afterward, and of course he has become a very famous actor. They did 20 films together, is what he said. Now, Young, I looked at his filmography, and I had seen a number of films, but I wouldn't call him an auteur. I could see what he's going for with Alan Brista, and maybe he was going for that same sort of, vibe with his other films, but I remember seeing a lot of dramas from him, one of which was Extremities with Farrah Fawcett, which I barely remember, but I remember it being pretty heavy on the drama. And, you know, as I looked over his filmography, there were a number of names that jumped out at me, but nothing was really memorable. So even though I think this is an accomplished picture, especially for the budget, I think the budget is astounding that he got these results. But I mean, he's unquestionably not an auteur. So Olmos, even though this was really the beginning of his relationship, he can't speak. He does speak a little bit about his aspect of the filmmaking, but it was not he was not a major presence, but he does, it's more like a critical analysis. You can tell that he does feel a certain fondness for this film, definitely as a Hispanic American. He probably is very much, he thinks the message is strong and important. It comes off like a critic's commentary. He talks about the style, how simple it is. He mentioned that there was no glamorization or exploitation, that it was objective. So he calls it actually the most authentic film about immigrants coming over that he's seen. So I'd say that's pretty high praise. There was another documentary that was Young's preceding work, and this showed, this was actually, like Alambrista, it was a family working the fields, but it was a real family working the fields. And we find out during the commentary that this is where Young got the idea to film Alambrista. Now, the tone is very, very different. These people are not somber people. They are working on their own. They're picking onions, and the kids work with the adults. They have fun. We see them swimming at play. So a good documentary short, not on the same level as the film, but it puts the film in context. So I think it functions there. And accompanying the documentary is an interview with Young himself, and he actually says that he did get the idea from this documentary about making Alambrista. He actually made the film because Xerox was doing a documentary series back then, and he pitched it, and they accepted. He actually did, and he said this is something he does. He does try to do what the actors do, and I guess kind of immerse himself to see what it's like, and I guess that's just his technique as directing. But he actually picked onions during the short, and he said he made $8.50, and that was in the early 1970s. So I don't know, what is that now, maybe $20? Still not a lot of money. But Young said he is trying to tell stories that replicate what happens in life. And with Alambrista, I think he did succeed. Again, I'm not an authority on his later work, but I'd say some movies are pretty interesting. He's still working, so continues to have a long and he's successful career. Any director that works for 30 years is highly successful in Hollywood. So I would give the Criterion rating an 8. Again, not terrific, but definitely worth watching. I think it's interesting. If you're interested in immigration, this is definitely the film to see. Not the best Criterion around. So yeah, this is a short episode, and this is probably an appropriate, more underground film for the first episode of Shortcuts. I hope you've enjoyed it, and we look forward to making a few more. Thanks now.